This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
This is Karen Kilgariff.
We're in beautiful Burbank.
Burbank.
The denim-clad home of Mr. Jay Leno. And Karen Kilgariff.
And Karen Kilgariff, of all people.
Also wears a lot of denim, but only on her legs.
Only the one pair.
Only one. Not the other pair being a shirt. I don't know why it's called a pair of shirts.
What if I saw Jay Leno and he was wearing a shirt made of my boot-cut jeans?
God, I'm so glad you didn't say skin.
And then, you're the one that saw him, and then you had to avenge my murder. Because it's like a shirt, but then my face is on the back, and you're like, is that a stitched thing of Karen's face? No, it's her actual face.
When I first see it, I'm like, that skin looks familiar. And then he turns around, and your face is just part of the shirt. And I'm like, I knew it was exactly Karen's skin.
My irises are all white.
Damn right I'd avenge him. I might avenge him if he's not wearing your... I might avenge your... just you as a person, whether or not he's wearing your skin. Just when I see him, I'll punch him for you.
On my behest?
Yeah.
Thank you. That'd be perfect for me.
On your behest, I'll kick his bee chest. Oh, good start.
This is one of the strongers.
It is one of the strongers. What do we have to talk about? Last week, got a lot of Twitter... Not complaints, just notifications.
Just heat and buzz.
Yes, heat and buzz and accolades, but also some comments that maybe the volume was a bit low. And
yes.
I think I've figured out the problem. It was an uploading problem. I had a setting that was off. I think I've also figured out this Stitcher thing that people are missing it being on Stitcher ever since Chip Pope episode whatever. But... I did find out, and guess what, Karen?
What's that, Chris?
We're about to have a sponsor commercial.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I was going to go into it subtly and conversationally, but why beat around the bush?
No, why not announce the hell out of it?
Downcast is a podcast player app that lets you easily find, listen, and subscribe to all your favorite podcasts all in one place, which is cool because it... you know, you can search by genre or keyword, like our names, and it just comes up instantly. Or if you type in, do you, the first thing that comes up is a podcast called Do You Like Prince Movies, which isn't us.
The great actor, Prince.
Or young ruler, young sons of kings.
Oh, yeah. Prince Harry's in that one movie?
Yes, yes, yes. Uh-huh. Podcast about Prince Harry.
Was he in Love Actually? Is it a podcast that's about Love Actually?
Oh, God. I'd actually listen to that.
Actually, I'd love that.
I would listen to anything. Notting Hill, a whole series, 12 episodes. I'd listen.
I have seen Notting Hill.
If that thing we just went on with Hugh Grant, if you didn't like that with Downcast, you can skip ahead with it.
Don't skip through that awesome riff.
Are you impatient? Are you an impatient asshole? Skip ahead a few minutes or seconds. You're able to do that with Downcast. Distracted? Did you miss something? You're at work. Your boss comes in. Where's the finance report? Whatever. Skip back. Listen to something you missed. It's just like having it on an iPod. It's harder with the other ones because you have to slide the thing.
That's right.
And you don't know where you're at, like with SoundCloud. And, you know, I guess that's...
Oh, is there anything else?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. it syncs podcasts across all your devices, supports audio, video, and enhances podcasts. That's a text from Henry Phillips, past guest. It allows you to stream or download episodes, your choice. All you have to do is go to downcast.fm. Downcast. Just downcast, one word, .fm/ride/ride. And then and get the Downcast.
Nice. That sounds good. I could use all of those things.
Yeah, yeah. It's just an easier, another way to listen. So maybe that can replace things for all you Stitcher people out there. Downcast sounds better. So there you go.
I just think that we need our lives to be easier because everything is so hard all the time.
As we become a more popular vehicle broadcast, I think that all we'll be doing is telling people about things that make your lives easier.
Yeah.
From bedding to apps that help with podcasts to, who knows, dish soap? Who knows what's next?
What about Gamblers Anonymous? We could start doing commercials for that.
Just bettering your lives. Are you in a rut emotionally? Maybe we'll get sponsored by some kind of therapist.
How about download Dr. Phil's new app, Emotion? Whoops. How about the app that helps you end bits or actually say jokes?
Oh, I wish I had that app.
Yeah,
that
I need it.
That would come in so handy.
I really need it.
Just log on to it in the middle of a comedy concert.
And it's just like, Jake and the Fat Man.
That's all you have to do.
That's all you got to do is yell it out.
And end it with referencing something all Family Guy style. And download the app. I haven't experienced .. since that weekend with Gary Coleman
that
at
we've
the
all
bathhouse.
Seen and, on a TV and shared.
Yeah, and then that plays out, and that's how you end a joke on that horrible show, Family Guy. Sorry. Family Guy, colon, we're no Simpsons.
Family Guy, colon, we're a colon.
Family Guy, colon, is where shit comes from.
Just like us.
Wow, look at that guy. He's a time-traveling Grand Prix.
That's kind of rad.
Yeah, it is kind of rad.
He lives in there. That's why it looks so cool, is because his home.
I thought maybe it was a flux capacitor in the trunk, but it was a selection of his dried socks.
And Christopher Lloyd's body.
Just the skin.
Oh, shoot.
I'm going to make me a jacket.
Out your face.
Yeah, Jim from Taxi's face is going to be on the back of my coat.
We might need to start a line of coats with people's faces on the back.
That would be amazing. Where it's just a silicone mask of their face.
Yeah, but it's kind of sewn in a way that looks like it's their face skin as the back of the jacket.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My goodness, you're the dumbest. Wow. We almost wrecked.
That was weird because he was looking right at us.
Yeah, yeah. That was just an asshole move. He seemed like a...
He was just going to kind of gun it in front of us.
He was just like a bitter... He just did a set at Flappers. He was pulling out of the Flappers alley. It's like 25 years of this shit.
He's like, I referenced Jake and the Fat Man and nothing happened. Okay.
My whole Mr. Burns giving Smithers a blowjob bit got nothing. It used to get standing ovation. I'm going to move back to Canada.
Oh, wait. Here's Kathy Ladman.
That's who we're
picking up.
That is her.
Yep. Look at her.
Hi there. Yay.
Yay. Is everything clear? And
I think so.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the legendary comedian Kathy Ladman getting into the car
about
with us
in
right
the car.
Now.
She is about to get in.
Hi.
Hi there, Kathy.
Oh my God.
Right off the bat.
Right off the bat.
Jeez.
Hi, it's good to see you again.
It's so hot.
I see you like a million years ago.
Yeah, we...
I have to pick up my mic, don't I?
Would you please?
Yes, hold on.
There it is.
I have to strap in first.
Yeah. I had to point directly at it.
Kathy, do you have dogs? Is that how you immediately knew what the sheet was about?
I don't have... I have one shedder, but I never bought... I have a leather... seat, so
I didn't realize
11-12 year old car.
We knew you were in the know because a lot of people get in, see the sheet, and think that they're going to be murdered.
Right, exactly.
Like, oh,
exactly.
You've laid out a sheet.
Silly, you need plastic. Right? By the way, I'm wearing my podcast makeup.
Oh, let's see.
No, just kidding. It's for, you know. You know what I was thinking about that expression? I have to put my face on. I mean, I know it's a very old expression, but isn't that the most hideous expression?
We were just really? Talking about faces being affixed to the back of jackets.
That's very weird.
It's very strange.
You
that
just
you came
tapped in.
You talking.
What do you mean faces being affixed to the back of jackets?
Oh, yeah, good question.
What we were talking about made no sense, and you came in and brought logic and realism to the whole conversation.
We were talking about what if you ran into Jay Leno and he was wearing a jacket. It was... And basically it was, what if he had a jacket that had my face on the back of it?
Your face?
My actual, and then we were joking, actual face with the skin and everything.
Oh, that's some jacket.
We were, right?
It's a horrible jacket.
Wow, it is.
But we
Peter wouldn't like that.
That whole conversation made no sense until you got in the car.
But I just, have it, you know, I don't know if you want to get into this, but Carly Fiorina's face.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Who is this? I don't know who this is.
Carly Fiorina?
She's running for president on the Republican
side.
Oh,
ticket.
Of course. I just watched her during the...
Oh, there's your coffee, Kathy.
Oh, thank you. And you're so nice. And all my fixins.
Yeah.
I'm like Einstein. I have to go into my lab right now.
I knew nothing about her. What do you guys know
she's
about
the
her?
One
I have to
lady.
Put down my mic.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. She's got to make her coffee. Basically, I'll recap because you were on the road with Todd Barry.
Yes.
The Republican
we
debate
it
happened.
Before the show.
Oh, she's the woman in the blue jacket.
Sure, sure. Standing in front of an abandoned Air Force One airplane.
Yes.
Don't make any sudden moves.
Okay.
Let me just drink some first.
Ugh. We're just going to roll very gently.
I'm drink some first without any sweet in it.
Okay.
Oh, I
hope
we're
drink some first without any sugar in it.
What's that going to be like?
It'll be what I wish I liked. You know, if I had grown up in the Depression like my parents, I would have had to learn to live without sugar.
Right.
Yeah, they can go without.
You'll have no sugar and you'll like it.
Mm-hmm.
That era.
This Christmas.
I remember having sugarless rhubarb pie.
That's right.
Oh, what a treat.
And we were lucky to have
it. I was so lucky to have 8 full slices of that pie.
Oh my God, sugarless rhubarb.
It's just, and if there wasn't rhubarb, rhubarb pie. It was salted celery pie.
Oh, my God.
No, are you?
No. That's what rhubarb is to me, is a salty celery.
It sounds like you knew a recipe from the Depression of, like, we'd get by eating salted celery pie.
Yeah.
I'm still fixing my coffee. I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's okay.
She brought her own whipped cream.
There's a mic on top, so we're picking up.
She's steaming it. Italiano style.
Oh, it's getting very Michael Winslowian in the back.
Just so you know, Kathy, they ran out of whole milk.
Oh, so what'd you put in?
That's 2%.
Oh, that's not bad.
Okay. I just said give me the closest you have.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Okay.
Yeah, the worst is in coffee is skim milk.
What is the percentage?
It's death and it tastes like death, too.
Is whole milk, what is the
percentage? 4%.
Okay. No one ever, because I thought it just jumped from 100%.
Right.
I know, I did too, actually.
That's a stick of butter. 100% is a stick of butter.
That would be, oh yeah, that's like bulletproof coffee. Have you ever had that?
When I was a kid in the Depression era, when we had a bowl of cereal, oftentimes my mother would put melted butter in there when we didn't have milk.
It's very rich, but we were lucky to have it.
But we were lucky to have the gout it gave us.
We were poor, but our cereal was rich.
Chris, you look good for having been through the Depression.
Oh, yeah. Well, lotion mostly.
That's right.
And butter.
I use Trader Joe's lotion on my face. That's how I stay with it.
I don't buy it. I just do it there in the aisle.
Just lather up.
It's much cheaper.
We, speaking of Depression era, we met on Venice Beach. we did a show at a retirement home.
Oh my God, that's right.
Yeah, and
oh my God,
how was that?
It was oddly fun.
It was fun.
It was scary, but
it was frightening.
I just remember, hey, all you beach Bettys.
That's right. Oh,
you've been riding the surf all day?
I can't even remember if I enjoyed.
They were right on the beach. Yeah. I knew I wasn't, my jokes weren't going to hit home with them, so I just wanted to remind them of an old lover from the 50s or something. I remember.
Oh, yes.
Sarcastic Nert Burfler. We used to.
Burfler.
We used to square dance.
He was a good man.
But I don't know whatever happened.
You know, this is, so go ahead, I'm sorry, interrupted you.
No, it's okay.
This
we
is a
did
very expensive podcast.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, if it was in the 70s, it would have been easier, but, you know, now that.
You mean with gas prices?
Yeah, gas prices.
What with what they are? Except for I never drive anywhere else, really.
Oh, this is it? This is
kind of, yeah.
Whoa!
This is the big.
Lucky there was a lid on that.
My dad said he had. Maybe he didn't, but his friend had a record player in his GTO in the 60s.
Really? Oh, I've seen those.
Are you serious?
They pull out and you put vinyl down.
Yes.
And somehow it didn't skip.
I think they were
45
players. I don't think it was a full record.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And it was this weird thing that like pulled out like a drawer down here. You can find it online, pictures of it. It's hilarious.
I just saw a friend of mine posted on Facebook that they now have laser players that you can use for your LPs.
Oh, wow. Like laser disc?
No, a laser will, I don't know the technology, but a laser will play, you slide it in, it's a turntable, but you slide it in, and maybe it doesn't turn, I don't even know. But it's a laser, not a needle.
To play your old records, though?
Yes.
Wow.
I know. I mean,
oh,
costs like $1 million.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Also, I bet it sounds good.
Yeah.
Because everybody's going back to vinyl now.
Well, who is?
Me and all my friends.
Oh, really?
Well,
I still have some albums in New York.
Something has to happen because CDs now are just drink coasters when it comes to trying to sell them. I just hand out my CDs at the end of a show.
Know.
I'm not a great salesman anyway. I used to hand them out even when CDs were all the
Really?
Days.
But yeah, now I don't even, like, when I had my album made, it was either MP3s or it was vinyl. They're
wow.
like, Special Thing Records doesn't even put out CDs
right.
because nobody
they
buys
don't?
Them anymore.
Because yeah. everybody downloads stuff.
Downloads or
yeah.
people are going back to vinyl because the sound is so
people
good.
People are going back to vinyl?
Yeah, it's for real.
So,
wow, I'm so
the physical copy is a vinyl, but what most people are going to rely on is what comes along with that is a MP3 download.
Right.
Yeah,
because right.
you usually get both, but then...
That's what I'll do.
Really? Nobody, Special Thing, is not putting out CDs anymore?
No, because they just don't sell.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
And cassettes are coming back.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
they
God.
Say. That might be a very hipstery thing, though. I'm
yeah,
not sure.
That's not even a good idea. But well, I can bring back all that material I had about rewinding them with a pencil.
Oh,
I
good.
Used to have a
how many minutes is that?
What'll that eat up?
I know. It sounds 15 minutes sounds long for a closer.
No.
But,
not
oh,
at all.
Man.
Not if you're doing a three-hour set.
Is that what you're doing tonight, Kathy, at the old Flappers Burbank?
Doing 5 minutes, ladies and gentlemen.
No.
You know why? Because it's their birthday weekend. Mm. So they're having a bunch of people come in. Everybody, the whole audience can get in for free
mm-hmm.
over
oh.
the weekend, which scares me, I have to tell you.
Yeah.
It really does. There's a lot of riffraff going to come through that door.
That's right.
Shit.
Oh, no.
Oh, God. Once again, the lid. The, oh,
did it come
the
off?
Lid, no, it didn't, but it did leak through. Oh, shit.
That's okay.
I'm so sorry.
Is Kathy, it, look it, at this car.
Did it land on the sheet?
It's were there napkins back there?
No, I have some napkins.
Okay. Did it get on
I'm
you?
I'm blotting it. No, it did not get on me.
Okay, good.
But I'm blotting it.
Please don't worry about that dirty dog sheets.
Oh, but I don't think... But it might have gotten into the upholstery then.
Yes,
then,
the upholstery is filled with dog hair.
Really,
when
really
she
wet.
Says dirty
no,
dog
it's,
sheet.
It's totally fine.
All right, now I have to hold on to this cup. Like, with,
and
no,
there's also a place
life.
Right here if you
yes,
need to put it down.
That's true. All right,
so please don't worry. But let's yes. really focus on your comedy. That's what we're
oh,
here.
Oh, all right. I don't know. However you want to run your show, go ahead. I'm your guest. I'll be here for you. I'm at your service.
When you have to do 5 minutes, mm-hmm. do you just do joke, joke, joke and get the H out of there?
Well, you know, the because it's one new bit that I'm working on that I actually did the other night when I was working with you. Mm-hmm. And I think I have the button for it. So I'm going to do that tonight.
Can we hear it?
It's the one about, like, when I say, would it be awkward if I just started crying right now?
Yes. And then she told me about it. Yeah. Karen told me.
It's a brand new piece. You know, I remember when I thought of it. I thought of it when I was walking on the beach in Carlsbad.
Oh.
I was working down there, and I just thought, because I really wear my heart on my sleeve. I'm like one of those people. I let my feelings out there. Perhaps to my disservice, but that's the way I choose to live.
It's a good, it's good to live open-heartedly.
I think so. I think so. But too. It scares a lot of people.
Sure.
And so the basic premise of the bit is that, you know, the only appropriate answer in our society to the question, how are you, is fine.
Right.
Anything else, no one wants to hear. So then I kind of go through, like, what that would be like if I really, you know, told everybody how I was really feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And there are things that are really upsetting me today that I'll, you know, the great thing about this bit is that I can do, it always changes all those things, how I'm feeling. You know,
right.
It's not... It can just be whatever happened that day.
Yeah.
But I have to say that it scares me a little bit because it does tip my hand quite a bit, and it's a vulnerable place, and I don't want it to be like a hacky bit.
Right.
I want it to be really open hearted, as you say. So.
Well, that,
you know.
I love it when a joke has that moment in it where it has built in.
Presence, sort of.
And riffing. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you mm-hmm. can change it every time mm-hmm. according to something that happened that day.
Yeah,
and
so
that
helps thinking it, on stage.
Right, and yeah. That also helps it stay fresh for you.
Yeah. I try. That's always been a goal of mine. But then sometimes I'll have a boring day, and so it makes that joke flop. Because I used a bad example.
Whatever. It can't always be there.
No.
You know, it really can't. But then I'll... So I'm going to do that, and then I'll just... I'm getting a little tired of my opening. You know, I've had the same opening for so long that I do.
Isn't that the hardest thing to replace?
Yes,
your opening
the
joke?
Hardest thing. And I remember when I started doing late night TV spots, you know, you have to come up with so many openings. So many openings.
Right.
And that is very hard. And they're not, you know, not everyone is going to be as great as the other. But I think it's the most important thing. Because
it really is.
You know, it's like, you know, I really generally hate saying, how are you? You know, I hate saying to the artist, so how's everyone doing?
Yeah.
I used to love when Margaret Smith used to say, I was backstage. I heard you all sound really good. And that's what sets you and me apart.
I've always had trouble with that. And then I'm like, well, of course. It'll take people 5 minutes to like me because I don't say, how's everyone doing? But when I did Conan, that JP guy said, I know this isn't your style, but go out there and say, hey, how's everyone doing? That's what they're used to hearing. And if you really don't like how that goes, we can cut it out.
Well, but it can sort of, sometimes with an audience like that, it gives them time to sort of focus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, good, he's going to start now because he just said that.
It is
you know, they might lose the first joke,
sure.
Maybe.
Well, and also they might think, if you went right into talking, like right into saying your joke, that looks nervous. I would think that a person like that was nervous because it's like you're not even acknowledging where you are.
Right.
You have to kind of, well, for TV anyway. Kind
yeah,
of
I mean, I always say hi. I always say hello to them. I always say hello to them.
Individually?
That would be really great because then I could eat up like a lot of time.
Just do it. You can have that, Cappy.
Go
up
into the
crowd. So great.
Dance like Ellen a little bit. Get them
right.
To do the wave.
You could do that in the bit. Like you could be explaining how everyone has to say fine and then start asking people how they are in the audience.
Yes. That's such a great idea.
Because then they...
Nobody's going to book me, of course. But it's a great
she
idea
does a
in
lot
our
of
heads.
Crowd work. It's mostly conversation.
Yeah, I was wondering, like, well, Jimmy Brogan, when he did late night shows, he couldn't do crowd work. He couldn't on the Tonight Show. He couldn't do like his usual stuff. He had to do jokes.
Right.
So yeah, I mean, you have to. It's a certain point on TV. It's like a whole different animal. That's why it was like always when I would run my set around town, it whenever it bombed, it was like always a good sign. It's great. Oh, that's great. It's bombing in the clubs. That's excellent.
Right.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Well, because you're not acknowledging the live audience.
Mm-hmm.
You're going through your jokes, and because you want to remember what's next and what's next and what's next, and
yeah.
and because you're acting as if you're doing it on TV, but there are live people there. It's different. You know? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you know,
totally.
Either the studio audience is live; they don't expect you to interact with them the way
no.
a club audience does.
I think they'd be uncomfortable if you did. Like, no, you're supposed to be doing your thing.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And that's what I always wanted to do with stand-up. When I first watched comics, and like a lot of people didn't realize that they were saying scripted material. Like
right.
when you first see comedy, and I was young, but
yes.
I thought, oh, that guy, every time he just comes up and thinks of funny things. And
right,
then it's
right.
so disappointing when you see that first comic do their set again.
And then again, right,
and,
right.
Yeah, and then again. And then
but then you
realize,
start to respect that as a craft.
Yes.
You know?
It took me a while, but now,
right.
it, yeah, like you said, finding ways to keep it fresh to you is the,
right.
the trick.
I mean, there are times when I'm doing, like, I'm on stage and I'm doing a bit and it's like, oh, God. I want to get through this one.
You
and
just
I have
say
to,
that?
No,
loud.
No, I just, no, I should. But I really, like I'm tired of doing this. I'm thinking, ugh, I'm tired of doing this. So I have to find, like, I have to, like, almost, like, infuse energy artificially.
Yeah.
So that I don't, you know, make them go to sleep.
Yeah.
Oh, God, there was something I was just going to ask you, and now I forget. Damn it.
Do you...
Oh, I know what it is. You know, like, when I'm doing two, like, long sets, if I'm headlining, I'm doing two long sets, and somebody from the audience says, so, are you going to do the same show, your second show?
Right.
And part of me gets, like, pissed. And I realize why I'm pissed is because I'm really pissed at myself. Because I wish I had two 45, 50-minute sets,
yeah.
like, A sets like that.
Just unrelated, separate.
Yeah.
Who has that?
I don't know. I mean... Maybe. I don't know. Like I don't know.
Jim Gaffigan or someone that has a whole headlining set just about ketchup and other tomato products.
That's
I love that guy.
Does yeah. he?
I mean, that's kind of... You know, different food groups are different hour-long
You know, I haven't
specials.
Watched a lot of Jim Gaffigan.
Sounds like I'm talking smack about him.
It does, really. A lot.
Yeah, you know
No,
what?
You're not. He's the best.
I'll stick it to the Gaff, man.
He's so funny.
I have to watch him.
He's really enjoyable, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also it's just that his voice, it's like, it really does seem like he's just talking to you.
Right.
Like, in line at Starbucks.
Yes.
Right.
It's so casual. And also, he's one of the people that, when I watch him do stand-up, it makes me crazy because I've had the beginning of the thought.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's the one that just goes tick and, like, makes it the
right.
funny thing as opposed to just me going, like...
Right, like you observed it and then he figured out where to take it.
I love that feeling of watching another comic and enjoying a joke, but also being frustrated because you feel like your brain was just inches from having thought of it yourself.
Yeah.
And you're like, God, it's the most familiar... I think that guy just stole my joke, actually.
Out of my mind.
He just stole it.
I'm sure there's, like... How could there not be overlap between... all these people doing stand-up and over the decades?
Yes.
I mean, you know, I was just watching... George Carlin, because Kelly just is, you know, doing press for the book, and they're showing some clips, and he was talking about how, you know, all the kids' toys are so safe now,
mm-hmm.
and he does this thing about when he was a kid, that, you know, the kid who swallowed a bag of marbles didn't grow up to have kids. That it was, you know, it was good. It was like survival of the fittest kind of thing.
And I
know somebody.
In the herd.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. I know somebody. I didn't even set that up properly. I'm sorry, but I hate myself. But I know somebody who does something like that. And I didn't know that piece of Carlin's before. So, and my friend's piece is great. But I mean, it was decades earlier.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
So, let's hear who the stealer is.
No, he's not a stealer. He's not a stealer, and I wouldn't
it's
even
the
say.
Gossip show. So, anyway,
no.
Here's who I think steals. No.
Mm-mm.
Just kidding.
I know you are. who steals?
Who steals?
Well, we know the big stealers.
I mean, it's... Some people will surprise... I think sometimes people accidentally steal. Like they hear something, yeah, and then they thought it was in a dream and they wake up.
For sure. Well, and also not just stand up, but like that's my, I think that's why I avoid watching a lot of comedy, because I know I'll do that. I will memorize things that I love.
Right.
And then it'll come back out and well, I'll be like, how did I think of that? And I mean, it's like, yeah, because it's
word for word. That's what Robin Williams, that was his problem.
Right.
He had a hard time remembering what was memory and what was coming out of his own brain.
Yeah.
And if your style is to just grab thoughts from floating in the air above your head, it's going to be someone else's thoughts.
Right. Yeah. At some point.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, I started doing this bit recently that new, you know, for me, it was about Arm & Hammer baking soda. And then my friend told me that Jake Johansson did it. I was like, oh, shit, I feel terrible. Ugh.
But that was just coincidence, right?
Well, no, he'd done it. I mean, he'd done it on Letterman. I swear to you, I didn't remember him doing it, but I just thought it was funny that, and I don't know if he did the beginning part of it, but, I mean, I would say, you know, being older has its benefits because I have more wisdom now. And one of the things that I've learned in life is that the baking soda in your refrigerator does absolutely nothing.
Right.
That word was refrigerator, by the way. It wasn't refrigerator.
You got a couple pre-show drinks.
Oh, yeah. It's the coffee. But then I followed it up by saying, and then they tell you to pour it down the drain. I mean, you're literally pouring it down the drain. What a scam. And that was the thing that Dylan Brody told me that Jake did.
Oh.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Wow. Made me feel dirty.
It's
a terrible feeling.
I'd feel silly for it, even me thinking it was an original thought.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
But I had a joke about Tide talking about getting blood out of clothes.
Yes.
And I'm like, when did Tide start marketing towards murderers? And
right.
That's like a classic Seinfeld bit, apparently.
Oh, someone right. It's like blood. If blood in your clothes, how does it go? Something
I think
is
he
not
would
your
say,
first.
Who's getting blood in their clothes? And then he said, murderers. Whereas I basically said the exact same thing.
Now maybe he says, clean laundry is not your first priority.
Something like that. I think that is what he says.
Yes.
Evading the police should take precedence
over
your cotton poly. wait, who am I doing now?
I don't know.
Dracula?
One bloodstained shirt.
One of my favorite stories is when the first time Rosie O'Donnell did stand up, she went up and did an entire set of Seinfelds.
That's right.
And she killed, and then she got off stage, and all the comics were like, you just did Seinfeld's material. And she thought that's what you were supposed
to
do.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. She was like, those are the funniest ones. Yeah.
Oh, you're kidding.
Like, she had seen him on TV and was like, just decided that's how you did comedy.
The first time she did stand-up was on TV then?
No. She saw him on TV and thought, well, his stuff is good, I'll do that.
Yeah, but I'm just making fun of the fact that you would think even back then you would know better.
One would think so.
She was young. She was like 17 or 18.
She was young in a Kangol hat.
Yeah, but I mean, in a Kangol hat. When did the Kangol hat thing start?
I don't know.
Was it Sam Jackson who started it?
I think it was Sammy Jackson.
Sam Jackson, Jr.? I think.
What a showman.
He's
Chris, where do you live, by the way?
I live in Venice, I think, where you
live. Oh, you live close to me.
Yeah, I'm in Marina Del Rey.
Oh, cool.
Right by the boats, you know.
Oh, my God, you lucky.
Well, I love sailing.
Do you?
No, I'm scared of the ocean, but I swim in it. I frolic.
Oops, hold on.
That's okay. This is the portion of the podcast. Right, we're Karen feels me up.
It happens every time.
Oh, right.
I do it on purpose so I can just
grab
her.
Let me protect your penis.
It would have been the first thing to go through the windshield.
Chris's groin. All right, everything's fine.
All right. All right, let's clean it up.
Are you, Kathy, are you, do you enjoy doing stand-up as much as you did, oh, I don't know, 10 years ago?
Well, let's go, you can go farther back than that. Come
yeah,
on.
15,
I've been doing
20
it 34 years.
Is that
wow.
true?
Believe
that's,
it?
That's amazing.
Three,
it
four?
Is amazing. 3-4.
So
well,
25 years ago.
Here's what I still love the craft. I do.
Yeah.
What I've had it with is babysitting the audience,
right.
drunk, stuff like that. I've kind of outgrown a lot of venues, I think.
Yeah.
But I haven't grown into the next level of venue because I can't sell it out, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's a little frustrating, but that's why I like some of these rooms that around the city that are not clubs per se.
Right.
But people who really enjoy good comedy go to these places.
Yeah.
And that I love. I really do love it. But my life is different now. You know, I used to be in a club every night. Yeah. And I loved it. And that was my social life, too.
Right, yeah.
But now, you know, I have a daughter and I'm married and you know, it's just, and I'm doing other things. And I have to get up early in the morning for school, you know, to get my daughter to school. So everything's different. My hours are shifted.
Right.
And I, you know, I can't do that. And I don't want to do that either.
Not every
night. No, I don't want to hang out in bars.
I'm just getting to the point where I don't want it to be my social life anymore, but I don't know how else to have a social life.
But I don't have a social life.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
That's good.
You know,
that's
really
what happens.
I mean, I like hanging out with like-minded people.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Yeah, if you tried to hang out with non-comedians, it's...
Well, it's not easy.
It's
no,
hard
but I mean,
sometimes.
Anybody who's an artist of sorts is interesting to hang out with.
Or who thinks about things. Yeah, of
yes,
course.
Yeah.
I don't need funny
I mean, there's some
around.
Comics that I don't want to hang out with.
For sure.
Let's list them now. Let's get started.
The Steelers.
Let's get that book. But, yeah, I mean, that's one thing about... The marketing of comedy, I think, that is so unfair as opposed to other entertainment forms. When you go to see music, dance, anything like that, there are subheadings. You
right.
go to see, you want to hear rock music, you want to hear jazz.
You don't just go see live. I like
just,
live music. Let me go to this live music concert.
That would be crazy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, literally insane. But if you're going to comedy, it's just comedy.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't understand the nuance and how to program a show. And not, you know, not every comic is going to like hanging out with every other comic. You know, it's ridiculous.
I also find the, like, having just recently done a club after not doing one for a really long time, the
uh-huh.
age... I'm just so old, so much older than, like, the young, I should say, the young people that
yeah, well,
that want to do
imagine
comedy.
How I feel.
But, I mean, it's that, like, what I realized was I was so, like, oh, it's bad that I don't want to do this or whatever. And then I realized, like, well, this is a young man's and woman's game. It
yeah.
really is, like, when you're so obsessed with comedy and you want to be in that club even if you don't have a set, it's
right.
a whole lifestyle in that
yeah,
way.
Yeah, and also, it's like but hopefully your life broadens as you get older.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to be one of those man childs or woman childs, you know,
yes.
Who, you know, hasn't evolved in life either.
Yeah.
But you know, I did a show a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you this, Karen, where everybody was like half my age in the audience and on stage, and I had a great time, and it felt like such an accomplishment that... It's not just a matter of years. It's a matter of sensibility, and these were smart people.
Yeah,
you know, and it.
So my plan for you, Kathy, is that we're going to do Thursday nights, and
Thursday
then you're just
nights?
Gonna, or like a we'll do
oh.
like a Monday and a Thursday, and that's
okay.
when you're going to have to come into the Hollywood area and do shows.
I could handle two nights a week.
Okay,
easily.
Well, we're going to get a schedule going.
Okay. Oh, look, Karen's like. Karen's like mentoring and managing me.
That's funny.
Because when I saw you the other night, I remember when we used to do sets at the Fake Gallery.
Long ago.
It was the best. And it was so no stakes. Like, you could kind of do whatever.
Oh.
and it was so fun. But these crowds need you. Like, they need, everyone is so similar in a lot of these rooms and really? At a lot of these shows
yeah.
that it's so great when somebody comes in that's kind of like, hi, everybody. Now watch how comedy's done.
Well, similar in what way would you say they are?
Well, it's a lot of dudes that are like 32 and wearing a plaid shirt with beard uh-huh. and black frame glasses.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
it's a lot of like...
And what are they talking
just
about?
They're observational just,
yeah,
Hollywood.
White guys. Mm-hmm. Kind. Yeah. It's a real white guys
really?
Game. And it's not, you know, I don't feel alienated or like it's not a complaint. It's just,
right.
it's so great to have a mix and
right.
and to have... more than just that one perspective. And they, and a lot of producers at shows around town are really good about making sure that they do have at least as much of a variety as they can.
Oh, that's good.
But I think it's just a numbers thing where it's just like
right.
a lot of young dudes.
Right.
So like, especially you at the end of that show the other night, it was just so great. Cause it just felt like, I just felt like I could see the real club behind you, even though we were in the weirdest gay bar. That was like
is that
made
a good
of
thing?
Neon. Yes, it's like real comedy is happening.
But you know,
to me.
That made me so that still makes me nervous when people say you should close.
Oh,
it always makes me nervous. I have such low self esteem.
Well,
Karen, and Paige, you should close. Really? Why?
Well, what here in town, it's just like you should go last. You should leave the place last.
Yes, it's almost an insult at the other places. Yeah.
yeah.
Really?
You should
mm-hmm.
wait the longest. You've paid your dues. You should sit through these other.
Oh, that. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
But yeah, when there's three people and you're getting paid, you should always go last, Kathy.
Well, yes. I wasn't getting paid.
No, quite the opposite.
That's maybe what keeps... Well, when I first moved here and I had worked on the road with... And we've talked about him before, Robert Hawkins, but he used to make me laugh.
I don't even know who he is.
He's
right, hilarious.
Exactly. Like, I
don't know anybody, though.
I don't know where he is now. He's probably...
I think he lives in Texas
Living
now.
In a military town. I don't know.
Oh,
but
no.
he was, I think, had a writing job on that Titus show and then would
oh.
do the road. But when alternative comedy was a genre that I think that phrase has finally gone away. But,
oh, good.
But yeah, yeah, I hear.
So
I know. But
you know.
Those shows, like at UCB, I was like, you should have Robert Hawkins on. I told Scott Aukerman to, and he killed in a way that other comics couldn't because he had all that experience. He also was an absurdist. He's a bizarre brain, but he also does the road. Nonstop, and so
he knows exactly how to kill in any room he goes to. Yes, exactly.
See, now I don't know how to kill in any room.
That's not true, because I was telling Chris
no.
the thing you did where you were like, why am I talking like this? And then you got like, you're like, I
because
actually talk like this.
This because everybody was shouting, and I think
yeah.
I understood why the acoustics in the room.
Ooh.
Oh,
Uh-oh.
We just stalled.
Oh my God, that's a first for this show.
Yeah,
well, yes,
we stalled.
Oh, really? It always happens to Landon.
We made it like 55 episodes before
wow.
I stalled.
Oh my God, he stalled.
It's always me. It's always. You know, so many times think this will happen in life. Something will occur, and people will say, "This has never happened before."
Yeah. I find people say that every time I go to a club on the road. This usually last week it was packed here. This is now.
Oh,
I don't
yes,
know why
I
there's
know.
No one
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
Well, there's
yeah.
the football game, and also a local preacher is speaking.
A local preacher. Oh, I can't compete with the preacher.
Oh, I know. Oh, you mean that audience isn't going to be here because they're all a heavenly cavalry chapel? Oh, nuts.
You lost all the Baptists and most of the Presbyterians.
Oh, my God. Okay, now, you guys, now, did you hear the... Did you not watch the debate, Chris?
I did.
You did.
I was about to get on stage, and so I was pacing.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
It was in my hometown, and I was nervous. And I get nervous. I'm a nervous person.
Which
nervous
is your,
right now.
Oh, you mean you were in Venice?
I was in Missoula, Montana.
Oh, Missoula! You're from Missoula?
I am from Missoula.
I love Missoula.
Oh, have you ever done?
Well,
stand-up
yes.
There?
Here's an interesting story. When I was in 1983 or 84. I was living in New York and doing stand-up, you
uh-huh.
know, for 2-3 years. And my boyfriend was Steve Middleman. Do you remember Steve Middleman?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. He had the joke about folding sheets.
Exactly, with no chin. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Pillowcases, yeah. And so, and he had this fan who lived in Montana who owned these Black Angus steakhouses. So he contacted Steve. I think Steve had a Showtime special or something.
Sure.
He contacted Steve and he said he wanted to bring him out in August, and he would, you know, play four different cities. Billings,
sure.
Bozeman, Missoula, and Great Falls. And I lived with Steve at the time, and Steve said, well, I'd like my girlfriend to come open. And he said, sure, that's great. So we did that. And also, we knew a guy who worked for the New York Times, and he thought it was such an interesting thing that we were doing, and he pitched it at the office, and they sent a reporter with us to travel around. And this guy is Bill Geist. Do you remember Bill Geist? William Geist?
Yes.
He used to be on CBS Morning.
Yeah.
Red hair. His son is Willie Geist. Mm-hmm. Who's like, so anyway, so Bill traveled around with us and it was so much fun. It was so much fun. And it was gorgeous. I'd never been to Montana before.
Right. And he was doing a story about what's it like to do stand up in a state where it's like America 100 years ago.
Well, it was
kind of.
Well, it was just like, you know, traveling with two New York comedians in Montana.
Yeah.
Just a very, you know, very interesting juxtaposition. And I remember, like, I think it was in Billings. You know, we're doing, you know, the steakhouses were not made for comedy.
Right.
I don't think I have to say that.
Oh, you were doing the Black Anguses?
Yes.
It was a Black Angus tour?
Yeah, just four Black Anguses.
Oh, that's what makes the story.
It's
that's
the
terrific.
Perfect story.
Oh, wow.
So in the first place, I believe it was the first place in Billings, and my least favorite city. And,
yeah, me too. I was just there last month, but yes.
So,
not as good as Missoula.
No.
I'll say that, and I'll mean it.
Yes. So, but the way they set up a sort of a quasi stage in some room, and they got a spotlight. You know, one of those giant cans, those long.
Sure, like industrial like garage.
Exactly.
Your dad changing the oil.
Yes, yeah, yeah. A big giant canister, kind of a spotlight, and they put it in a closet, and they left the closet door open so that it would light us on stage. So I'm on stage, and somebody wasn't aware of why the closet door was open. They just slammed the closet door, and I was like in total darkness. It was very funny.
That's terrific.
It was very funny. We had a great time anyway. So you were nervous doing your show in Missoula, you said.
Yeah, my dad and family and friends are there, and I think they've seen. I was doing jokes that I've never done before because I've been there enough to have burned my material last time I was there, and but I was just opening for Todd Berry. I wanted them to see Todd Berry, but I was worried about an audience that doesn't get to see stand-up that much.
Right.
Last time I brought him there, which is weird. I bring my own headliner. it was like 6 years ago, and the crowd, they drink a lot in Montana. The crowd got chatty. But I think in general, people are a little more savvy with stand-up.
I think I have to get back there.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, we're on our way.
Okay. They got chatty.
They were a great audience this time. They loved great jokes. And when I, just speaking for myself, when a joke that wasn't that good, they were like, yeah, that was polite laughter.
Right, but you're really, it sounds like you're harder on yourself than anybody could be.
Oh, I hate myself.
I understand.
I have so much hate.
I mean, not that
me.
I hate you, but so I hate myself
no,
too.
No, it's too late.
No,
you already
it's okay.
said it.
Cat's out of the bag.
I hate myself, and I'll spend it on other people once the right person comes along, but for now, I'm just spending all the hate on myself.
It's you.
Good. Oh,
you
well,
first?
I recommend getting married. it kind of grows exponentially. You didn't even know that you could kind of it could build upon its own, it feeds on itself in a way. But
now
I feel guilty that I said that.
Should be edited out.
It's okay.
He'll never hear it.
Oh, it's okay. He doesn't listen to podcasts. But
is he a commentator?
Neither do we.
Tom used to be. Tom, I don't have time to listen to things. I really don't. How do people have time to listen to all this stuff and watch all this stuff? I don't get it.
I don't know.
I'm too busy being outside, swimming, and
reading books, going to the library,
standing on the treadmill wearing roller skates.
You know, I don't read enough books. I have eight books going, and then I read New Yorker articles and New York Times articles. And you know, and then I read stuff that's posted online, and then, you know, I don't get through a fucking book. It's really annoying. It makes me feel stupid.
I do the same thing because I start the book as I'm in bed.
Right.
And I'll get asleep. 3 pages in. Right. That's
well,
okay.
I don't read books because books make me feel stupid.
Oh.
I think that's why the books are there, to make guys like me look dumb.
Every time I look at my bookcase, I see all the books I want to read, and then it, like, ramps up my self-loathing.
It makes you feel like a failure to have
a
bookcase.
Failure.
Well, that sounds like an excuse, and maybe it is, but I am antsy, and I can't sit and relax. And that goes for camping or being next to a lake in a chair. I'm not real good at just sitting there.
Uh-huh.
And that's what reading a book requires.
Right. It's true.
But I do enjoy reading. I enjoy ideas. I like reading aloud to my friends.
Okay.
Showing them the pictures.
This is a good dating profile.
Thank you. And I enjoy walking, and I'm a Scorpio.
Have you ever signed up for a blind dating service? You could read to blind girls.
Oh, that's right. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Reading for the blind date.
I just had deja vu. Is that a thing?
I may have stolen
reading
it
for
from
the blind
somebody.
Is a thing.
I know, but deja vu is also a thing. Well, they happened at the same time.
Wow.
Apparently.
Oh, God, we're folding in on ourselves.
Yeah.
Oh, God, this is like a movie Inception.
But, you know, I just wanted to say, back to you being nervous in your hometown, it's like so interesting how we are often most nervous in front of the people who are supposed to and probably do love us unconditionally.
Right. I don't want to change their minds.
What?
I don't want to change their minds, these people that love me.
Right, but that shouldn't change their
right.
minds.
Right, it wouldn't.
Yeah. But there's still a lot of, I want to please, I just want to please.
Yeah.
It's weird that I just want to please strangers. What is that
I know,
about?
Well, that's a comics syndrome.
I
yeah.
don't know that it's healthy.
It's a very sad thing.
I don't think it's. Well, I think it's also impossible because I never think I do, even if things go well. I always focus on, like, the one person that had the look on their face.
Of right. course.
So it's almost like having a fetish for a thing that I, like, an itch I can't scratch.
Exactly. Ugh.
So I mean, gross.
When I could be having the most fun on stage if there's one person with their arms crossed up front. I put all my focus on them.
Yeah. Yep.
How can I turn this around? At yep. the expense of the rest of the audience.
Sure.
How but can that's... I make this asshole happy?
Yeah.
Who didn't even want to leave the house. And he's like, ah, oh, there's goddamn comedy club coupons.
But that's such a common thing amongst comedians. Because, you know, we are... I mean, the empty hole that it takes to get up in front of strangers and have them laugh.
Yeah,
you know, out of the context of their lives is quite a thing.
It's insanity.
What a great that was a great conclusionary moment.
Yeah. It was
episode.
Now I'm about to do that.
Yeah, now you have to do the thing.
Why
you have to do the?
This
thing.
Was so much fun. I wish I'd rather just drive around with you guys.
Oh, thanks, Kathy.
It was great.
That was really fun. You're good at this.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Kathy.
I have to apologize for the smelly, coffee-soaked sheet in the back.
I'll send you the bill.
Oh, underneath that sheet.
What is going to be, like, $2.75? Something like that.
Oh, my sheet isn't good enough to be stained.
No, I'm saying $2.75 for laundry. I mean, what if it stains and it doesn't come out?
I mean, what if I have to replace it?
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, if your dog could just kind of scoot his ass along that.
What
kind of dog do you have?
I have a small one, like a little beagle mix, and then I have a big one that looks kind of like a yellow lab.
Beagles,
oh, nice. I have two dogs also.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Oh, that's right. You don't see them because you don't go on Facebook.
I had to leave Facebook.
Oh, okay.
I was getting too
Facebook.
Compulsive.
I'll look at your dog.
Okay, I'm compulsive too.
You can email me pictures
of
your dog.
Are you on Facebook?
I am.
Are we not friends on Facebook?
We are pals on Facebook.
I'm going to have to make you a close friend though, because then I'll see your stuff.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, and then when we're maybe I can send you a close friend message and figure out how you do that, and I can.
Oh,
stop
you just go
getting...
up. You just go up to. You go to my page,
uh-huh.
And then it'll show that we're friends, and then you click on that,
and, say
and it'll
close.
Give you an. It says close friends, and you click on that because when you have a lot of people that you get,
yeah.
or your quote unquote friends. And I've got it. I'm starting to thin the herd.
Yeah.
Boy. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's the mistake
this one
I made.
I
just
posted
said yes.
today. what's her name? Elizabeth Warren said something wonderful that's been going around about Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
Yeah. The one where she's just like, you people are from the 1800s?
Well, I don't... It was several things. I mean, it was edited, and there were several sections.
Oh, it was an actual speech?
Yeah, she was speaking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so I posted it, and I said, you know, please, you know, you got to see this. She is so terrific, and what she's saying is so important. And this one guy who's this idiot friend, an old friend of a friend, he will not cut him loose. He gets on, he goes, she's mentally ill, and she's, I said, hi, Howard, of course you're here, and goodbye. And then I went to block him.
Oh, that's the best.
Yeah. Near me.
That was part of it, but yeah, it's that kind
of
thing.
Of course you're here, and bye.
And goodbye.
Yes. I don't want to know this about you, that this is your reaction to this thing, that we are like that diametrically opposed.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying that to you. I'm like, that's my,
no,
that's
no,
my
no.
Facebook thing of like people that start to fight with you.
Right there, we ran out of card space. We were wrapping it up with Kathy, but I just want to explain why it abruptly ended. But that was Do You Need a Ride? With Chris Fairbanks and Karen Kilgariff, and our guest, Kathy Ladman. You've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? DYNAR.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim, give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris.